O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, through chapter 4, verse 5. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's Word as we listen to Simple Kingdom by Brian Torwalt, Cody Carnes, Katie Torwalt, and Paul Duncan. The verses distill powerful truths into accessible statements about God's kingdom. The melody follows a smooth, arch-like shape and allows the song to be easily remembered.
Is simple, as simple as love. You welcome the children, you stop for the one. We want to see people the way Jesus does. Your kingdom is simple, Lord, teach it to us. Kingdom is humble as death. His king is a savior who gave his last breath. So may we die daily, our pride lay to rest. His kingdom is
2 Timothy 3:14 through 4:5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. In a recent poll, the Barna Group released results which found that a majority of Americans, including 3/4 of millennials and nearly 1/3 of practicing Christians, say that morality is based solely on their personal feelings. According to this poll, 57% of all respondents agreed with the statement that, quote, whatever is right for your life or works best for you is the only truth you can know, end quote. This included 74% of millennials and 31% of practicing Christians. 65% agreed with the statement that, quote, every culture must determine what is acceptable morality for its people, end quote. This included 70% of millennials and 47% of practicing Christians. This poll data is yet another illustration of the reality that the belief that morality is subjective has become an axiom in our culture, a truth that doesn't even need to be defended. But what's interesting is that while these are the stated beliefs of a majority of Americans, these beliefs aren't being lived out in any sort of consistent manner. Deep within each and every one of us is an awareness that truth exists, that there is such a thing as right and wrong. So many are stuck in a position in which they feel compelled to deny the existence of absolute moral standards while also affirming that certain things are just wrong. Well, friends, this is no way to live. And what's the way out? Well, David Brooks in a New York Times article a while back wisely suggested, quote, if we're going to avoid a constant state of anxiety, people's identities have to be based on standards of justice and virtue that are deeper and more permanent than the shifting fancy of the crowd. In an era of omnipresent social media, it's probably doubly important to discover and name a true north, a vision of an ultimate good which is worth defending, even at the cost of unpopularity and exclusion, end quote. So what could possibly function as our true north in this era of confusion? Our text today gives the definitive answer. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word is our true north. It is the only infallible authority to direct us in all of our actions. It frees us from the problem of subjectivity because it comes from outside of us. It's a word spoken to us, not by us. The Westminster Confession states that the Bible is, quote, the supreme judge by whom all controversies of religion are to be settled, and all decrees of councils, opinions of ancient writers, doctrines of men, and claims to private revelations are to be examined, end quote. The scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are breathed out by God, and as such, they are the supreme judge, the ultimate authority. The Bible is our true north. It is worth defending, even at the cost of unpopularity and exclusion. So the question is, are you taking hold of it? Are you allowing it to be your true north? Or are you looking to some other source? In the moments that follow, pray that the Spirit would increase your desire to be in the Word, and that He would use it to teach, correct, train, and equip you. Let's close now with this prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. Most loving Father, whose will it is for us to give thanks for all things, to fear nothing but the loss of you, and to cast all our care on you who care for us, preserve us from faithless fears and worldly anxieties, that no clouds of this mortal life may hide from us the light of that love which is immortal, and which you have manifested to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.